Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
May 15th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, Photoshop CS3 goodies for photographers. Welcome back to another show. I am just back from Orlando, Florida, where I have been teaching Photoshop and Lightroom all week and doing an outdoor photo workshop. I had a great time, and I thought, you know, now is a good time to talk about the latest release of Photoshop, CS3. And, you know, a lot of you are probably working with CS or CS2 right now, and I think the CS3 release is excellent for photographers. There's lots of goodies in there, lots of special things just for photographers, and I want to cover some of those today. This is a great conversation as it fits into some of the other things that we've been talking about on the show, such as Adobe Photoshop Lightroom and Apple's Aperture. Both of these things are great photo management applications that you can use from upload to output and adjusting and just about everything in between. Now, the thing is, Apple Aperture costs $299, and now Adobe Lightroom costs $299 also, because the early adopter program is over, and so now it's $299. These are U.S. dollars for those of you that are anywhere but the U.S., which is a whole bunch of you out there. So I'll just talk in U.S. dollars, and you can translate accordingly to your prices. But $299 for both Aperture and Lightroom in the U.S. So the big question that I got last week, and sort of the big question I've been getting a lot lately, is something like this. Well, if I'm going to upgrade, you know, from CS or CS2 to CS3, I have to spend X amount of dollars to do that. Is it worthwhile for me to spend additional money to get either Aperture or Lightroom on top of the Photoshop upgrade? Now, the answer to that question, as you may guess, varies from person to person. What I'd like to do today is tell you a little bit about what they've put in CS3, have you look at your workflow that you have right now, and then sort of figure out, do I need to move to a more managed environment such as Aperture or Lightroom, or can I add this upgrade, the CS3 upgrade, to my existing workflow, see how that works and go on from there? Now, for every 10 photographers, there's really going to be, you know, 8 different answers to this. So let's just sort of dig in to what CS3 has for us, and then you can kind of figure out the best way to go from there. Photoshop CS3 in general is better for photographers. They have done just some good work. Things such as, in the past, we could never use brightness and contrast, right? You're always told, stay away from the brightness contrast tool because it'll ruin your pictures. And you know what? It did ruin your pictures, and we really couldn't use it. Now in CS3, you can use the brightness and contrast. They've totally rewritten this tool, and it works great. It's like it behaves like you think it should. It makes your pictures look better, and it doesn't destroy them. There's smart filters, control. There's all sorts of stuff in CS3 that's good for photographers. But the real gems are two specific things, and those are what I want to focus on today. The first one is the brand new version of The Bridge, which you get with CS3, and then also Adobe Camera Raw version 4, which is a plugin for both Photoshop and The Bridge. That's right. The Bridge and Photoshop each have their own plugin version of ACR. And this is really important because one of my major tips is going to around workflow is going to involve using Bridge in ACR instead of Photoshop in ACR. And ACR standing for Adobe Camera raw. So I want to really focus on those two things today, because I think this is where the real gold is for most of us as photographers. The other stuff in Photoshop's fabulous, and if you really like to play with pixels, it's great. But in terms of workflow, in terms of working quickly, in terms of having some of those goodies that you get in Adobe Photoshop Lightroom, all of that is in Adobe Camera Raw in the Bridge. So let's take a little closer look at both of those. Now, if you've used earlier versions of ACR, you know that basically it's the plugin, which is really an application, that Adobe created to deal with the raw files from the different camera manufacturers. And it supports a whole bunch of them, basically more than just about anyone else. So it was a good tool for processing raw files because it was linked with Photoshop and you didn't have to use the proprietary application that came with your camera, which made the workflow a little bit more difficult. But now in ACR 4, the latest version, we have lots of good stuff. They've added new highlight and shadow recovery tools, which weren't there before. You have much better controls for black and white processing. You can actually convert your files to black and white right there in ACR and have lots of control over how it looks. It now also processes JPEGs and TIFFs. So it's not just for RAW files anymore. You can use all these fabulous tools to process your JPEGs or your TIFFs too. Fabulous. This is really important stuff. They added some healing and some red eye tools, which was very nice of them. They've added split toning. So now you can do independent toning of highlights and shadows in a photograph, and then even have a balance tool to, you know, measure the degree in between that it's applied. It's really, really very nice. So now, along with this new version of Adobe Camera Raw, you also get a whole new version of the Bridge. And of course, the Bridge is the file browser part of the equation. And it's very easy to use. Now, the problem with it before was that you would browse a folder full of images, and especially RAW files in the Bridge, and it'd just be slow. It'd just drive you crazy. It was so slow. And so a lot of photographers who sort of liked the concept of the Bridge actually didn't like using it because of its performance. Well, those performance issues are gone. I've been using the Bridge on both an older PowerBook G4 and then, of course, the new MacBook Pro. And it burns on the MacBook Pro, but is actually very, very acceptable on the older computer, too. So the performance issues are gone, and they've rewritten the interface. It's a beautiful interface now. So now you have this very robust, high-performance file browser that has its own version of Adobe Camera Raw. Now, this is very interesting because what you can do then, a sample workflow might be something like you take your pictures off your camera, you upload them onto the hard drive that you normally upload your pictures to, and, you know, whatever file folder structure that you like and probably have been using for years. Then you can access those pictures through Bridge. You can browse them, you can rate them, you can do all sorts of stuff in Bridge. It's very powerful now. And then you can also, if they're RAW files, or JPEGs actually, then you can actually process them using the ACR plugin for Bridge. And you can just set this up as a preference so that when you double-click on the image, then it opens it up in ACR 4. Or you can do, you know, Command R or Control R, and it will do this, the same thing. Now, this is pretty fun stuff, because what happens is if you use the Bridge and the plugin for ACR together, then Photoshop is no longer needed just to do your raw browsing and processing. That means you could have another job open in Photoshop, something that you're doing for something else that has layers and all that sort of stuff, and still be doing all the work with your raw files with Bridge and ACR 4. Whereas before, you know, you pretty much, a lot of people would tie up Photoshop by using, you know, the plugin, the raw plugin for it, And then, you know, that's all you can do. So the workflow where you use the bridge along with ACR4 is a very powerful and flexible one, and it leaves Photoshop kind of out of the equation except when you need it. Now keep in mind that Adobe Camera Raw is for global adjustments for the most part. So, you know, you're doing things like exposure and contrast and color temperature and, you know, all of those sort of things, and you're applying them globally. If you really need to get in and work on a specific area where you select it with the lasso tool, then you do have to interact with Photoshop. But a lot of the work, and especially now since you can work on specific color channels and so forth in Adobe Camera Raw, you can do most of the work that you need to do with this plugin and not have to go to Photoshop except when you have to do specific localized edits. You can also process multiple images at once in Adobe Camera Raw. So in other words, while you're in the bridge, you could select, for instance, 4 images that were shot, you know, under the same lighting, you know, about the same time. And you could select them all in Adobe Camera Raw, and then whatever edits you do to one image, let's say making a color temperature adjustment, it would apply that to all 4 at once. So, I mean, now you're working pretty fast. And if you're a little uncomfortable with working that way, another way that you can go is you can make your adjustments to the first image, and when you get it the way that you want, you can select the other 3 and then hit the synchronize button, and Adobe Camera Raw will apply those adjustments to the rest of the images that you have selected. Again, very powerful. You can work very quickly, and especially on images that were shot, you know, under the same lighting conditions and so forth. Good stuff here. Now, I want to talk a little bit about those 4 buttons at the bottom of the interface in Adobe Camera Raw, because I think there's some confusion around them. You know, one of the problems before working with RAW files in Photoshop was that, you know, you'd have this big RAW file, this big 10 megabit RAW file, and then you'd open up an ACR, and then you'd do some adjustments, and then to finish it off, you'd have to move it over to Photoshop, and then you'd have to save it as a Photoshop file or a TIFF file or something, and then you ended up with another big file, so you ended up having 2 big files just for one picture. Now, you don't have to work that way. You know, the combination of the latest version of Bridge and ACR4 really allows you to work with metadata much in the same way that Lightroom and Aperture works. You know, we call it parametric editing or non-destructive editing. There's all sorts of labels for it, but the main thing is that you can actually work on your image and edit it and not have to create another big version of it. So I want to talk about those 4 buttons at the bottom of the ACR interface, because those have a lot to do with how you work and how efficiently you can work. I'm going to work from left to right at the bottom of the interface. Now, over in the far left, you have the Save Image button. So when you've been working on a photo in Adobe Camera Raw and you click the Save Image button, basically what it does is it saves the changes that you've made in ACR, and it converts the image to a different file format, such as a PSD file. So this is a little bit of that older sort of workflow that I was talking about, where you end up creating another big file. Now, if you go to your right a little bit, you'll see that you have the Open Image also. So you're working on your photo in Adobe Camera Raw, you click Open Image, and it will open the selected image inside Photoshop. And that's usually so that you can do some further work on it, such as localized edits or something, you know, layer work, or something that maybe you couldn't do as easily in Adobe Camera Raw. So that's what the Open Image is. It opens it up in Photoshop. But then once again, once you're done with it in Photoshop, then you have to save it probably as a Photoshop file so you can retain the layers and so forth. And now, once again, you have 2 big files for one picture. The next button over is Cancel, and I think we all know what that means. You play around in Adobe Camera Raw, and then you just want to get out of it. You don't want to save any changes. You just hit Cancel, and you're, you know, returned to the bridge. Now, the real killer button is the one over on the far right, and that's the Done button. And I love the Done button, Because if I do a bunch of work in Adobe Camera Raw, some really nice stuff, and I click the Done button, then what it does is it saves my editing instructions, and those accompany my original file. But I don't have to create another big Photoshop file or TIFF file or whatever at that point. It just returns me to the bridge. My edits have been saved. They're mostly metadata, kilobytes of data instead of megabytes of data. And I have it there accompanying my original RAW file or my original JPEG, now in Adobe Camera Raw 4. And this feels a lot like Lightroom. You don't have all of the bells and whistles that you do with Lightroom, but you have the essence or the guts of Lightroom in this kind of workflow. Okay, I want to take a little bit of break from this Camera Raw bridge stuff. I'll come back to it because I want to talk a little bit about the editing tools, which are fabulous in ACR4. But we have some really exciting stuff going on with our virtual camera club, and I need to bring you up to date on that stuff. The first thing, I just published the April photo assignment results, and that was, of course, Window to the Soul. They're online now. You can get to it off the homepage of the Digital Story. You can go to the Jump To menu and select Photo Assignment from the drop-down menu, and they'll show you all of them, with the latest one being at the top. Take a look at these shots. Once again, you guys have just outdone yourselves. This is an outstanding gallery. And, you know, a bit of a tough assignment, I have to say. And you just came through it swimmingly. I really have enjoyed looking at these pictures. And they're ready to go. And they're ready for all of you to take a look at, too. Now, the ongoing photo assignment for this month, for May, is Slender. And I think this is a fun one, actually. I think this has so many possibilities and so many ways to go. Just, you know, endless. Pick one of those and do it. And send in a shot and be a part of the May gallery, the Slender gallery. Get your submission in by the end of the month. If you have any questions about how to submit, make sure that you go to the submissions page and we spell it out. And I also try to give you a lot of information. Even when you click on the April photo assignment and you're reading about it, I give you submission tips there. Make sure you label the subject line of your email that you submit with very, very carefully. Make sure you put photo assignment and then I like, you know, colon or dash or something like that. May 2007. That way it'll end up in the right folder in my email and I'll be able to take a look at your entry. But the photo assignment for April is up. It's fabulous. And I think we can have another dynamite one for May. That is, of course, if you decide to participate. Speaking of photos from you guys, wow, how about the start that we have to the member photo gallery? Isn't this a lot of fun? So we have two things. I talked about it in detail the last podcast. Basically, what I did is I started a Flickr public group called The Digital Story, and we have a photo pool there. And people who publish to that photo pool, save their images to that pool, automatically have them show up on the member photo gallery on The Digital Story. And, you know, there's a link to the member photo gallery on the Jump To menu, and there's also just a link there on the homepage. This is really off to a great start. First of all, we have, you know, way over 100 photos already submitted. Good looking photos too. Stuff for you to look at, stuff for you to use, you know, to brainstorm, to think about how to photograph stuff for inspiration. And then you can also comment on these photos and actually have a dialogue with the photographer who took the picture. You can ask questions about how he or she did this or that, you know, where he or she was, you know, any tips, techniques, all that stuff. You can engage directly with the photographer who took these shots. And this is really cool. And all you really have to do to participate is just join Flickr with a free account. And then, you know, go over and, you know, our group is at, you know, www.flickr.com. And that's FLICKR/groups/The Digital Story. and you're off to the races. Now, another nice thing that's come about, and I knew that we were getting this when I signed up and created the public group, but the discussion forum that we have with the public group, I'm really enjoying it. I mean, there are lots of good conversations going on right now. I try to jump in and chat as much as I can and answer questions. But, you know, that part to me has been almost as fun as looking at the photos and commenting on the photos. So we have a lot going on here. We had over 100 members, like in the first day and a half, and people just keep joining every day. I encourage you to bring your friends over. I think this is going to be a very nice watering hole to share pictures, to talk about pictures, to have discussions, good stuff. Now, one thing that I've noticed as we're submitting stuff, I think for the tagging, it'd be nice if we all used, you know, I've just sort of been watching what people have been doing when they add tags to their photos. Why don't we add TDS? Why don't we make that a standard tag that we add to all of our photos that go in this public group? That'll make it easier for us if we want to reorganize them in some other way. We can grab all the shots that are tagged as TDS and reform them in some other gallery or something like that. So when you submit, if you'll use TDS as a tag to add to that photo, a keyword, it's very easy. You do it right there when you upload the photo, or you can do it afterwards. Then I think that'll give us maximum flexibility up the road. But mainly, I just want to encourage you to participate, to share your photos, to participate in the discussions. If you don't, if you're not comfortable sharing your photos yet, you know, take a look at what other folks are doing. And when you see something you like or you have a question, you know, go ahead and ask the question and just sort of get involved. You can get involved at whatever level you want. But this is really fun stuff, and this is a terrific community. So, you know, and thanks to all of you who have already signed up and who are already contributing and participating in discussion forums. You've really helped us get off to a great start, and I'm just tickled with all this. So the member photo gallery and the Digital Story public group on Flickr, they're off and running. They're only a week old, and we're just having a great time, and I'm looking forward to months and months and months of fun with this stuff. And of course, grab shots continue to thrive. It seems like, you know, the better the photo assignments get and the more people are participating in the member photo gallery and stuff, the more interesting the grab shots have been getting, the entries and so forth. And those continue to be a staple of the site. You know, we're going to publish at least one of those every week. And, you know, for me, this is a very important part of what we're doing. So as you run into, as you're working on these assignments and things for the Flickr public group and so forth, and you come across that really neat shot, hang on to that one. Don't put that one maybe on the member gallery right away. Send it to me for a grab shot. And then, you know, if over a period of time, if I'm not able to publish it, you know, obviously you can put it on the gallery. Well, obviously you can do whatever you want because you're in charge of this. But try to send the really good stuff as a grab shot, because that ends up on the cover of the homepage, and that's really special, and they have a special place for me. So thanks for those great grab shot submissions, and I think we're just on a really nice roll right now. Thanks for your participation. I guess really quick before I get back to ACR and the bridge, I want to thank the folks that are really helping make this all possible, which are the folks over at Boinx Software, B-O-I-N-X, the makers of Photomagico. And I'm doing some work with them right now, and we're going to have some new stuff to publish around Photomagico that I think you're going to enjoy. We have a tile for them on the Digital Story homepage. Make sure you check it out if you haven't already. Greatest slideshow software for the Mac. And then also the good people over at ExpoDisk, the custom white balance tool that I use every day. I have a couple of them now. I started using the portrait one. They have a portrait one that has the yellow cord, which has a little, they say warmer tones, but just nice skin tones. And I was afraid that was going to be too warm, especially with my Canon, but as it turned out, it's not. It's really nice. So as I learn more about using the portrait version of the ExpoDisc, I'll report on that here. But they also have a tile on the homepage, on all the pages. Click on it, try to find out more about what they're doing. It's a great tool to get it right at Capture. Okay, I want to get back to Adobe Camera Raw 4 for a few minutes. One of the things that's really neat about this is that if you are contemplating using Lightroom or going to Lightroom at some point, the adjustment tools in Adobe Camera Raw 4 are very similar to the adjust to the develop module, which are the adjustment tools in Lightroom. So the work that you do in learning, you know, perfecting and getting comfortable in Adobe Camera Raw 4, well, that's going to save you a whole lot of time when you switch over to Lightroom, because you are going to be almost totally comfortable in the develop module in Lightroom after playing around with Adobe Camera Raw 4. Now, this works the other way around, too. If you have Lightroom now, and if you're using Lightroom, and you're playing around a lot in the develop module, when you use Adobe Camera Raw 4, you're going to go, "Pooh, I know how to do this." You know, because all of your favorite tools are there practically. That's very nice, and it's very complementary to one another. So Adobe Camera Raw and the develop module in Lightroom are, you know, second cousins, first cousins, first cousins. They're not even second cousins. They're closer than that. They're first cousins. And this is really nice because you learn one, you automatically are learning the other. I don't have time right now to go through all the tools, and if that's something you want me to do up the road, I can definitely do that. I want to mention, though, saturation and vibrance. This is both in Lightroom and in ACR4. And saturation, we're used to, which is, you know, you move the slider to the right, and everything in the image becomes more saturated. The greens are greener, the blues are bluer. And unfortunately, a lot of times, the reds in the faces become redder, which makes the complexion look sort of ruddy in Caucasians. And it's not also so hot for people with a colored skin also. So the saturation tool hasn't been really a good people tool. Now with vibrance, we have a tool that you can use, and it will increase the color, the saturation in the area around the subject, you know, the landscape or whatever, but it really holds back on the skin tones. It really allows you to increase saturation around the subject without ruining the skin tones of the subject, his or herself. And this is really, really cool. And so I would say that generally speaking, the saturation tool is great for landscape and things without people. But if you want to increase the saturation in your portraiture, especially environmental portraiture, then play with the vibrancy tool. I think you'll like what you find. And finally, the last thing that I would take a look at is the new tone curve control. You know, curves traditionally has been hard for some people to learn. It hasn't been, you know, the curves command in Photoshop is extremely powerful, but it hasn't always been, you know, very intuitive for people. So the new tone curve control that's now, again, both in Lightroom and Adobe Camera Raw 4, this is a lot better. And it has four sliders at the bottom of it. And these are the parts that I just want to mention real quickly. We can talk about the three midpoint sets at another time. But you have highlights, lights, darks, and shadows sliders. And really, so you can make your curve adjustments just by sliding these four sliders. The highlights control the brightest areas of the photo. And then the lights is a combination of highlights and the brighter midtones. So the lights slider will adjust the bright side of the midtones and also some of the highlights. And the darks works very similarly too. It adjusts some of the darker areas of the midtones, and then some of the shadow area also. And then you have shadows, which works on the darkest areas of the photos. So now you can just move these sliders back and forth, look at your image, look at your tone curve, and I think you'll find curves a lot easier to use with these new sliders. Finally, there's two other tools that I really encourage you to take a look at in the new Adobe Camera Raw version 4. And one is the HSL controls, and that's the hue, saturation, and luminance. These are really cool. They allow you to like take blues, and you can adjust the hue of just the blues in your photo. You can adjust just the saturation of the blues, and you can adjust the luminance or the brightness. And you can do that with blues, reds, oranges, so on and so forth. And it really makes color correction in a certain area of your photo much easier. Take a look at them. They're just absolutely fabulous. And then you also have the HSL. In the HSL panel, you also have the convert to grayscale. Now you have convert to grayscale on the in the exposure panel with just a couple sliders. And then you also have it in the HSL panel. Use the one, if you're going to convert to black and white, use the convert to grayscale in the HSL panel, because you have a lot more sliders, a lot more tools available to you to adjust your black and white photo, and it looks really, really good. Adobe Camera Raw 4, they've really done a nice job. And so if you're trying to figure out, what should I do? Should I go Aperture? Should I go Lightroom? Should I stick with just a Photoshop workflow? What I suggest you do is become familiar with all three of these applications. Really look at what Aperture can do for you. Really look at what Lightroom can do for you. Then look at your existing workflow and get familiar with the new Adobe Camera Raw 4 and the new Bridge, and see if using those tools and putting them in your existing workflow might be the way to go for you right now. Personally, I like them all. I like using, you know, the more controlled apps, you know, most of the time, such as Lightroom and Aperture, but I really have fallen in love with Adobe Camera Raw 4 and the new version of the Bridge, and I find myself just for doing quick work on a folder full of RAW files, this is really the way to go. Take a look at it. Let me know what you think. I will see you next week back here in the Digital Story. Get that photo assignment going. Participate in the Flickr group. Let's keep our momentum, guys and gals. And this has been great having you aboard. See you next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.